This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Say it again.
It would have been better if it was loud.
It wasn't loud. It was just like...
A little baby clap.
Brother Jason is talking about, like, we use a clap instead of a clacker like they use for, like, TV and stuff. A clap for me to have an audio point or a peak point to match up the audio. Yeah.
The last couple times I've tried to catch him off guard.
He stole my clap.
I as soon as you put your hands up like that, dude, I was like...
That's the problem. It was like...
Yeah, his little baby clap.
Got me good.
Go ahead, say a prayer and we'll get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker.
Yeah,
Wednesday.
Hello. Oh, yeah, shoot. I'm sorry. Hi, my name is Jason.
And I'm this John. John.
Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. We ain't done this in a while.
It's been 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks for me. It's been a week for you. But okay, my bad. Now we're going to pray.
Ching Yao Wei. Father, thank you so much. Father, we just ask that you reach whoever it is that needs to be reached today. Father, anybody who's listening right now, Father, you give them the inspiration to want to go into your word, to seek you, to find you, because we know that where we seek, we will find. So, Father, we ask that anybody who wants to hear us right now, that is hearing us right now, if they have questions or they need prayer, that they reach out to us, Father God. We thank you that you are good, that you are merciful, that you are so great and worthy of our worship. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Choo. It's been an interesting start again. Last one was interesting, too.
Just kind of happens like that sometimes.
It's good, though. You know, we come into these, if you were to take a second to kind of examine what it is that we actually do here, truthfully, wow, y'all right over there? Did you break something? He was raising up a seat. If you examine what we do here, it's so much different than what most are doing. And so, again, we had this conversation recently about kind of how things seem to be a little bit repetitive sometimes. And that's because we don't come in here with an agenda, which actually probably makes us more organic and real than most, because we don't have an agenda that we're trying to sell.
Yeah.
The only agenda is that we are here, we are in this journey, and we're trying to grow and learn about Christ and share it with people all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, most people, before they decide to go and share their faith like that, have spent years learning how to do it. We have not done that. We've skipped a bunch of steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, I crave real. I crave listening to people be honest, because I think we are desperately starved of honesty in this world.
Realism, honesty. Yeah. Ethical values. I mean, there's tons of things that we're starved for nowadays in this world.
And so I think that that's what makes what we do different than most. We actually have some realism. It's real. This is so when you hear what you hear, it's what we're dealing with right now. That's it. I mean, that's the truth. So when you hear me talk about multiple times about like being in a weird place and needing to reach out and not doing it, that's actually happening. It's not made up stuff. You know what I mean? That's actually happening.
Yeah.
So I think it's what makes us unique. Now, that's my little pitch for Bumper Sticker Wisdom. You can join if you want to. If you don't, it's cool.
My pitch is just quit being a...
Never mind.
Listen.
I wanted you to finish that so bad. Just quit being a pitch.
Can't finish it, man. Can't finish it. It's not very Christian-like of me.
No, no. But, you know, what I told you earlier, what I was reading, Romans chapter 7 and Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is, talking about the flesh and the spirit. Man, like, I don't know about you, but I am so sin conscious. Like, I'm so aware of all the ways that I'm messing it up.
That's a good thing.
It is good.
They say, I mean, that's what they say. They say that I'm... When I say they, I mean I've heard it multiple places. The closer you get to God and the stronger your walk is with Christ and the way everything's going, you start to notice your sins and you start to shy away from them. You start to understand, okay, that's not good for me, that's bad for me, that's...
I think though that it's both. It is good. That at least you recognize that you are in sin. That is good. But it's also bad when you're super sin conscious because that's all you focus on rather than focus on what Christ has done.
You think it? I don't wouldn't think it's bad. I mean, okay, yeah, part of that, yeah.
Right. It's good to that you recognize
but I think
that,
I think it's really good that you're like, hey,
bro, I need to check that. I need to fix that. I keep going into this.
You can't be like, man, I really want to murder that guy. Really want to murder that guy. And then like, man, you know what? I think about it so much, I'm taken away for the fact that I'm forgiven. I might as well murder him.
Might as well do it. Yeah, that's...
No, that's not... It's the same kind of thing. It's okay to think about your sins. It's
Yeah, I don't think
keep yourself corrected.
I think it's good to be aware. Right, I think it's good that your conscience is trying to be your guide and telling you, like, hey, dude, we got to get over here. We need to get over here. We need to get over here. But sometimes I think it travels between the line of conscience and being...
Gets too far.
Yeah, it becomes, this is who I am. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Because that's not who God says you are.
No, it's not who God says you are. But if you understand that you're a sinner... You won't fake it like you're perfect.
Correct. Yeah, I agree.
You understand,
with that
like,
too.
Hey, I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. I apologize. You know, like, dude.
It reminds me whenever Jesus was. Okay, this is when he very first called Matthew. Like, this is biblically speaking, he calls Matthew the tax collector. Follow me, and he's like, okay, and he just walks
like,
off.
For first, he was like,
yeah, yeah.
Me? Yeah. Then he's like, okay.
All right, I'm coming. So he calls Matthew. Matthew invites him to his house because he's affluent of a way. He's like not hurting. He's doing well in life. And he's got all these people there that are other sinners, right? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees are like, how can he be around? He's such a holy man. Why is he with all these sinful people or whatever? And Christ's response was, sick people need a doctor.
Yeah.
Which means they have to recognize that they are sick first.
Yeah.
And he, again, this is one of those things, like, he's pointing to these religious leaders going, you don't even think you need a savior.
Yeah.
That's why you can't recognize one when you see one.
So, oh man, that could go 100 different ways because, I mean, how bad is it going to be for them that's the kind of mentality they have?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm broken. I know I need a savior. I pray for it every day that I'm living right or I'm doing right because I know for a fact.
Yeah. I need a doctor.
Yeah.
I need a doctor. Heal me, please.
Come get me. Please come get me. You know, I'm going to be standing there like a little kid wanting the grown-up hugs.
Come on, uppies,
man.
Uppies.
Come on, man. Come get me. I need you. Let's go.
I think that I don't know what it's going to be like, and I don't envy them, and I don't want to be them, right? I would rather.
Like, I think there is special treatment for them because a lot of them, a lot of them are trying to do the right things.
Okay, there it is. They're doing what they think is right.
Yeah.
Right? They're doing what they believe is the right thing to do. And I think a lot of people are, believe it or not, as messed up as the stuff as we see in the world, I think most people think they're doing the right thing.
Unless you're that David dude that just got raided by the FBI for building a 28,000 square foot parsonage.
About that recently.
Yeah, golly. Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go, repeating the same thing.
No, again. But it makes sense, too, but you were talking about that's like that megachurch thing, that, and they're, like, hoarding the money from the parsonage. And, like, man, that's another one of those things. Like, it goes back to what we've talked about with the religious leaders. Like, they're just squishing you, like, in a press, like, they don't want to try to ease the burden. They want to take all the religious demands and make it a demand rather than recognizing that God worries more about your heart than your behavior.
Yeah.
Christ himself said that. He's more concerned about what's going on right here.
So what do you think it looks like? You know, David was considered a man after God's own heart. What do you think that looks like?
Gosh, that's a good question.
Does it look like somebody that knows they're failing, that's just continually trying? Or does it look like someone that just knows for a fact that he's got a relationship with God? Yeah. Or does it look like someone that everybody thinks has a relationship with God? I mean, what do you envision?
Okay. It's not a man who knows. Or it's a man who definitely knows that he needs a savior. It's a man who doesn't think too highly of himself, right? And has humility. Because look, David, I don't know if when we were praying earlier, I talked about look in me, Lord. David wrote that in the Psalms. Look in my heart, find all of the things, all of the ways that I'm not right, and help me to remove those things. Slowly we rake away, right? We don't step into this walk and wake up perfect. We step into this walk and go into a process of being restored and changed, right? So a man after God's own heart is seeking God all day, every day, and in every moment that they possibly can. Because look, this world is way more distracting than David's was.
Yeah.
That among many other things, right?
David, temptation is any
it's
direction
everywhere,
that you look.
Everywhere. And I think that it's far more tempting now. But okay, subtract all of that, though. Recognize that God knows the world you live in, right? God knows the world you live in just like he knew David's world, right? So he is a man who is humble enough to recognize that I'm king, but I'm messed up. And I know that I did things wrong. I know that I do things wrong. Not that I just did them. I do still, right? This is the man. This is the little boy who stepped out and slayed Goliath.
Yeah.
Right?
Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Who is he to say that my God is not greater than his?
Yeah.
You know, does he know who the hell he's talking about?
Have you
about?
Seen the slingshots, though? Like,
yeah,
it ain't a pink. It's not one of them.
No.
It's like a bullwhip with a rock in the end of it.
Yeah.
And then you crack it at the right time and it slings it like 9,000 freaking miles an hour, dude.
Yeah. Oh, it's gonna especially if you hit somebody in the right in the forehead.
Well, dude.
It's gonna be like a bullet.
Dude, if it was to go through.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff.
And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The soft flesh?
Yeah. This is going to destroy it. But anyway, this is the thing is though, he had full faith in who God was. He also had full understanding of where he was. Right?
Yeah.
He was a man battling his flesh, just like we are.
Didn't he kill his best friend to marry his wife or his brother?
You want to know the story? I'll tell you the story. I'll tell you a short story. So, yes, his best friend, who was on the front lines fighting wars that his kingdom is fighting to protect the kingdom, and he sees this woman bathing on top of the house, I think. I think it's on top of the house.
What an odd place to take a bath.
Where's the bath at? Yeah. How come the bath isn't behind closed doors?
Bro, I don't know many modern structures that'll hold a bathtub full of water on top of them.
So I think that's how it describes it biblically. Like he sees her on the top of the house bathing. It's Bathsheba. And he becomes filled with lust, which you would, right? He sees this attractive naked woman from a distance.
He's like, man, I'd hit that.
He not only said, I'll hit that, he said, I'm gonna. And he goes and he gets her and he does his thing and he impregnates her, I think is the reason he does what he does. And look, he paid penance for that. He paid a retribution in this life. Like he paid a punishment for that. But it's those things that we do that make us understand that we need to turn back to God, right? It's not, well, I messed up. I guess I might as well keep on this path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crap. So whenever Geppetto or whoever, Jiminy Cricket, says to Pinocchio, let your conscience be your guide, that's what I feel like he's talking about. It's like, I messed up. I did the wrong thing. Oh, well, I guess I'll just keep doing the wrong thing. No. Yeah. I messed up. I did the wrong thing. I need to do something different. I need to come over here. I don't need to do that anymore. Right? So a man after God's own heart is first of all someone who is seeking God, period, seeking God. Two, understanding I am broken and I can't be whole without him.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of how I see it. What do you think a man after God's own heart looks like?
Humility. I think it's a broken man that is consistently just reaching out. And
yeah,
I think it can be a man that's lost too, that doesn't really know how to have a relationship with Christ, that yeah. is just knows that's what he needs, but doesn't know how, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a, it's a book, but it was turned into a movie by Stephen King. This is weird, a weird reference, but it's called The Stand. And it's literally like the end has come. And it's when COVID happened, it scared the hell out of me because it reminded me of this book. And I was like, oh, this might be it. You know what I mean? Like a super virus breaks out from a military facility. And,
like outbreak.
Yeah, a bunch of people die. But God is kind of centered into this, and there's a demon walking the earth. And anyway, there's a character in that movie or in the book. In the movie, it's played by Rob Lowe, and he is a deaf mute, and he doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist, right? But he's kind of pulled into it's like two different factions. There's the demonic side, and then there's the spiritual side, right? And they're all going to all the people on the spiritual side keep seeing visions of this woman named Mother Abigail, and they're going to go to see this woman, Mother Abigail. And he shows up and he meets her, right? This is the person he's been dreaming of, and he can write, but he can't hear or speak. And Anyway, she starts talking about God to him, and he said, he writes down, "I don't believe in God." And she just busts out laughing. If I see it right now, if I saw the scene right now, it would make me tear up. Because she busts out laughing, and it's like, he's all confused. You can see the look on his face, like, what are you confused about? And other people at the table are like, well, what's so funny? He goes, well, he says he doesn't believe in God. And she's just like, doesn't matter what you believe. God believes in you. That statement has always struck me. Like, you're talking about a person who's broken. Because a person who's broken, who's living in that brokenness, doesn't always believe.
Yeah.
They don't always. I don't know about you, but I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere deep inside of me, I always have this belief. But it's in that moment that I think about sometimes when I don't feel like I have any belief left, when I don't have any faith left, I think about what God believes in you.
Have you? Okay, so that reminds me of something. This is going to be such a screwed up comparison.
It's all right.
Have you ever seen Shane Gillis when he talks about racism?
Yeah.
He says, you're not racist right now.
Right now. Yes.
But it gets the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, look. You're not spiritual right now.
Yeah.
But you could get cut off by a cheeseburger. That's what he says.
It is what he says.
He's like, I'm not hungry right now, but a cheeseburger could cut you off. But you could have something happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sends you into this spiral.
So think,
you may not be spiritually connected at all times, but something is going to keep you hanging around.
Look, there's something that's in you already from the beginning. Like, you don't end up where we are right now without a still small voice that's always been.
You know how
they
say you technically pronounce Yahweh, right?
Like a breath. It's already there.
That's insane. And then they go and they show you examples of how your DNA is.
And you continue, and we continue to deny. That's different.
Can we watch my video now? Come on, man. I'm over here freaking clicking my knees together wanting to watch this.
Oh, okay. Which one are we watching? Because
I'm shaking the table. I'm over here playing with my headphones.
He's fiending.
Yes, come on. I want to watch my video. I think it's interesting.
It is very interesting.
It's not, okay, first and foremost, it's not how I don't know enough about it. I'm going to speak for you. You don't know enough about it. We can't say that this is what this is, but it's very interesting.
Correct.
And we'll leave it at that. It's entertainment. That's what we're here for. We're here to entertain. But
with this one?
Yeah, the one that we started watching a few minutes ago.
Okay. If you're not watching, you can go to YouTube.
Give me 3 minutes of your time. I'm about to go over why we've been so deceived of what the mark of the beast is and what it actually is. We've been told that what John wrote in Revelation for the mark of the beast was the number 666. But if you actually look at what he wrote down, it was actually these symbols right here. As you can see, the similarity from what John wrote to up above, it's actually the Arabic phrase Bismillah, which means in the name of Allah. The first symbol is the Muslim cross swords, which is the symbol of the Islamic Jihad. The second symbol is Bismillah, right there, which is Arabic for Allah or in the name of Allah. The third character is Chigma, which means mark or mark of servitude. These characters are also used in the Shahada, which is the Islamic confession of faith, that the Quran state will be written on a badge of servitude on the day of judgment. When Muslims pray, they pray to the name Ali Akbar. They recite it 111 times for 6 days and 98 on the seventh. 111 times six is 666. The Bible says that they will take a mark on the forehead or the right hand, but Muslims already do this. They are already wearing marks as Islamic banners of protest and jihad. Muslims have already been conditioned to take this mark. This badge declares slavery because they are a slave to Allah. They pledge allegiance to their master. Allah means an imprecation, curse, cursing, excretion, oath, swearing. The serpent in the Garden of Eden was the first to be cursed. By bearing the name of Allah, you are wearing a curse. This is the sign of Allah, and this is the serpent and the scepter. Muslims stand in the street shouting, Allahu Akbar, which means Allah is great. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Islams are waiting for Allah to send a promised Messiah. His name is the Mahdi. They say he will ride a white horse with a sword, just like Revelation says our Antichrist will come. They also say the Mahdi will come up with a peace treaty for 7 years, just like our Antichrist will do. They also say their Jesus will come and proclaim that we were wrong about him and that he is not the Son of Man. But that will be our false prophet. They say their Antichrist will come in riding a mule and wage war. That will be our Jesus. I can go into more if y'all want, but this was pretty eye-opening to me. I can't believe how deceived we've been.
Okay, so when she talks about the donkey.
Yeah, exactly. She said he will come riding on a mule. What? Yeah. Hold on a minute. What did she say again? Do you remember
exactly what she said? So she's saying that they're going to say the Antichrist is coming in on a mule.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the Antichrist when it's actually our Jesus coming in riding a mule.
Oh, okay. So they're going to...
Riding a horse carrying a sword, and that's their Jesus, basically, or that's their Messiah.
Okay,
however.
Understood.
Our Antichrist. Yeah. I mean, if you read how it is, and then she says when Jesus comes in on a mule,
yeah,
that's they're going to be look, it's the Antichrist.
Jesus is the Antichrist. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me ask you this, and then, I've thought about this before, but... Look, whatever you want to believe, that's your decision. I don't care. We'll meet on the battlefield one day. Is what I think.
Okay, here's the scariest part about this though. When this happens, most of the people left here are not going to know any of this because the rapture. I think right, the rapture happens before any of this stuff does.
I would think, yeah.
So if the rapture happens first, these people aren't going to know biblical lingo. They're not going to understand the Bible. They're not going to understand biblical events.
Yeah.
It's going to be real easy to be deceived.
Philip Anthony Mitchell makes a good point scripturally about how, like, after the rapture, there's no one left to preach the gospel. There's no one out here.
No, and if there is, they're going to be... They're going to be tortured.
Yeah, no.
But I can't think of a better way to go.
Of course.
Can you imagine, like... You wake up and you're like, your wife's gone, your family's gone. You find out like millions of people just disappeared at a certain time and all this stuff's going on. The first thing I'm going to do is grab my Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm probably going to escape to the hills where no one can find me.
I'm going to try to.
So that I can try to gather my wits first because it'll be panic mode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%. I feel like Anthony Mitchell made the point about how it's just there will be no one left to preach that message. And look,
everybody left is going to be fooled, deceived.
Well, my fear is look how deceived people are now.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
I mean, seriously, like... The problem with our world now is that everything is a lie, right? Like, and I don't mean it like that, but like every media outlet, every social media platform.
Look at all the AI crap. Man.
Everything is trying to deceive you. That's how I feel. And look, I may or may not be right. I'm just telling you what I am examining in my world. So people can listen to what we're doing right now and be like, well, they must be lying too. That's sad because we're actually trying to be honest. I know enough to know that Christ, Jesus Christ, was the Son of God, our Savior, our King, our Lord. He is God in the flesh.
Yeah.
Right? It's not three separate gods. It's one God in three different forms. Mm-hmm. It's the same God, okay? So,
human, spiritual,
God. Yep. You know, the spiritual part is what talks to you on the inside. Your soul. That's the part that tells you, you're sinning. Stop that.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Father is justice. He's the one that's like, okay, bro, I can't allow that. Right? The Son is absolute forgiveness through believing in Him. And the Spirit is your conscience. It's what guides you.
You know, it's crazy. Is the one that is the most forgiving is the one that is the most like us.
He's the one that was punished the most, too. He paid
and the
punish.
The one that's the most forgiving. That's crazy. That's a crazy.
God created him with the
ultimate intent on
saving you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I see. That's what I hear. That's what I feel. I mean, gosh, man, I could get everything that I want to do to help people to just please come and talk to them, get to know them. Because what I know about the Islamic God is he is that sword, which is what the Jewish people always wanted, right?
Yeah.
They wanted that. When Jesus came, it was supposed to be a general, right? Like we talked about.
Supposed to take out all their enemies.
Yeah.
Supposed to slay them.
Yeah. We're no longer going to be slaves under Rome.
No, he's going to annihilate you.
Yeah. That's what they want.
Yeah. Which Jesus didn't look like what they thought, so...
The problem is that he's going to.
Yeah. The next go around, he's coming with a vengeance.
He wasn't the first time.
Yeah.
But he's going to the second time. And you don't get to barter or bargain your way through it. Because he knows
your heart. Can you imagine if you could see both?
If you could see both.
The love, kind.
And the wrath.
And the wrath, like if you could see the pre-crucifixion and you could see the pre-tribulation, so you know what I mean?
You're talking about some
post-tribulation, like, yeah, if you could see the two, the difference.
Which one would you choose?
Well, I would choose both, but I would rather see the kind and nice. And yeah. It's just like a dad that's disappointed in you. You still love them. You're happy to see them, but you don't want to see them when they're pissed off.
Yeah. So
you want to see them when they're loving and caring and kind.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is the punishment. I don't want to pay the punishment for my failure.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I don't want to pay what I owe.
It's not a payable debt.
It's not. It's not something that
I'm payable with one thing.
It's payable upon death, right? And the death was made. The death was paid. That's the whole point, right? And look, we can do this for 100 years, and the same thing will come out. The same truth will come out every single time. We don't have the power to pay. If you want to pay it on your own, you're welcome to try. You can't. The debt's been paid.
Yeah.
And you can receive the payment. he can pay for you, or you can pay for yourself. Which one you want to do?
Yeah.
Because look, I got debts, real world debts. We're talking about money debts, right? And if somebody wants to pay them debts for me, I will gladly take it. But it, when we talk about this other one, this other, the spiritual debts, we don't, it's like we don't want to, it's like, well, we kind of believe it, but we don't necessarily, you know what I mean? It's like, well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Bro, this earthly debt means jack. That is everything.
Yeah.
It's everything. And yet we sit over here and you squabble and complain and argue. Man, if there's one God that offers one way out, why would you not take the one way out? Why would you decide to just deny that?
Well, I don't really feel like sometimes people just don't know.
True.
So let me ask you this. You're a kid. You grew up in an abusive home. You spent years and years and years in foster homes, getting tossed around, different families, different beliefs. You just have no idea. And let's say you go to prison. And let's say while you're in prison, the religion that kind of captures you is Islam. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just saying, let's just say that's the religion that captures you. And you get out of prison and you think that all this is good and that everything that you've learned in there is right and blah, 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 this, that, and the other. But then you meet somebody, let's say a woman, and she's a Christian. Mm-hmm. And you have that inner entanglement and you decide, nope, you're wrong. And then you go back into this and then this happens. You never even had the opportunity to get to understand. You were taught everything that you were taught your whole life was violence. You were beat on, you were, yeah. You know what I mean? You were tossed around the judicial system and all this stuff. And I mean, I know that ignorance is bliss. Like you're really not going to be able to say like, oh, well, I just didn't know. But I would have to think that there's some kind of.
There's a contingency for that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like a baby. If a baby's born right now, they spend the night in the hospital and God forbid they're driving home with their baby in the car and get hit by a train or something and it kills all of them. That baby never even got the chance to know.
Yeah.
But I feel like God's like, come with me, child.
Okay. So there's something there because I think
it's worse to know him and deny him, know that he's there. Like, hey,
right.
I see you over there, you sly devil, but I ain't giving in. No, that's horrible.
I think that the thing about, okay, so the thing that I want to latch on to there is the newborn, right? Newborn infant doesn't even understand language.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to this conversation about the deaf, blind, mute, like can't see, can't hear, completely deaf, completely blind. Like
someone that's born deaf, blind.
Yeah. How can they possibly know Christ? How can they possibly know God? Here's the thing. I truly believe the spirit is already there. It's born in you. And if you're born with that kind of a disability where you cannot possibly communicate with the outside world, he's already communicating with you.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't. Dude, I can't. I cannot imagine.
Okay, so I'm not.
Whoa.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can't hear me.
Are we going to talk about that?
I can't hear me.
Are we going to talk about the dingleberry thing?
No, no. God, where was I going with this? Okay, so tell me I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
it would be much better to be born that way than be me or you right now and it all be
go
taken
that
away.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Because born that way, you never know the difference.
Yeah, you wouldn't know the difference.
And so, right now, you know how terrifying it'd be? Someone take your sight, your eye, your sight, your hearing, and your speech, just whop, right
gone,
now.
Gone.
Dude, like, I flip the switch, it's all gone. Now you don't know how to communicate with your loved ones. You're basically, I mean, born that way. I would think that it's normal. You develop touch. You know,
there might be a way to start communicating in some way.
Touch or something. Yeah, I mean, but to just to happen right now, like, poof, I mean, it sucks regardless. I mean, it's a horrible thought process, but damn.
Yeah.
How many of those kind of cases are there in the world?
It's a good question. What's the difference? Well, okay, so do you equate that with like being becoming paraplegic, where like neck down?
You could also compare it like this. Would you rather lose an arm or a leg?
Or both?
No, if you had to choose one, would you rather lose an arm or a leg?
That's a good question.
I would rather lose a leg.
I think so too. I think I'd
because
rather lose a leg.
Because everything is...
I can still do everything with my hands.
Yeah, prosthetic leg.
Yeah, I can get around.
You can gimp around pretty good. Now, let me ask you this. Would you rather lose your thumb or your big toe?
Oy. Because, look, your big toe is way more important than you think. You might as well lose your leg.
That is your center force for your balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might as well lose a whole leg if you're going to lose a big toe.
But losing a thumb.
You can't even grab nothing.
I mean.
How do you latch on?
This.
Crazy. He's ETing it over there. Oh, that's what you get for ETing it right there.
I knew it was going to happen too. And my wife clean.
I don't even know what we were saying at that point. But
we're talking about losing thumbs and then I ETed it.
But you don't have the long fingers in the middle. You just kind of have them short, stubby ones.
That's how I did it, just like that.
Yeah.
And it, I mean.
It worked.
It worked till it was empty enough that it didn't.
The truth is like, you know, we can't possibly relate to that. Like,
sorry, I'll quit. Okay. I'll quit. I'll quit.
It's okay. It's to suddenly become completely deaf, completely blind, like to suddenly have to lose a limb, to lose a finger, especially the thumb, which is like what separates us from most beings, most animals on the planet. You know, not having been through it, we can't possibly relate to it, right? And I think that's a great commentary on life.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar Sampler Pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
In general, and why our testimony is important. Right? Because if I don't, okay, so last time we got together, we talked a little bit more about addiction and how I had some innocence in that and like describing some of it. And you're like, no.
That's not how that works.
That's not how that works. But see, that's the thing.
You want to do some marijuana?
you want to do some rails of heroin?
Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I don't even know what I was talking about. But you see the point. The point being that, like, look, your testimony is important. What God has brought you through, that's your testimony. What Christ has brought you through, not how you've been perfected.
Yeah.
Not how you're sinless. Excuse me. Not how you're sinless. You're not meant to be perfect. You're not going to see perfect on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Stop that.
Okay, so, like, I hate to shift gears right now, but shifting. This thing is, like, burning in my brain ever since we watched that. Have you seen the one with Philip Anthony Mitchell when he's talking about the Antichrist setting up the false idol in the temple?
I don't recall this one.
Dude. Okay, you know, so the false idol, you know, he sets up this idol and this thing will talk. It has the power to talk, the ability to speak and make blasphemous claims about God and do all this stuff. Philip Anthony Mitchell.
False idol?
Yeah, the Antichrist false idol. Or the Antichrist, false idol.
Now, what I'm about to read to you is Paul's prophetic writing of what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Now, during the tribulation period, according to Daniel, the Antichrist would come. Listen, he will make a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel to protect them. And in the middle of that peace treaty, he will break that treaty at the 3.5-year mark. But look at how he breaks the treaty. This is the abomination of desolation. Now watch, because some of this is being prepared right now. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. That is, don't be deceived, the day of the Lord has not come yet. Now look at what he says carefully. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. That is the end, and the second coming of Christ will not happen until the tribulation comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, who is the Antichrist, the son of destruction. Now here is the abomination of desolation. This is what he does in the middle of the tribulation. He comes, he signs the treaty. He says, I will protect Israel. They rebuild the temple. The Jews are doing sacrifices in the temple for the first 3.5 years. Now watch. In the middle of the tribulation, this is what he does, verse 4. This is all prophetic. Who opposes, watch, and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. And so what the Antichrist will do, at the 3.5-year mark of the tribulation, he will go into the temple. He will stop the sacrifices. Watch. He will set up an idol of himself in the temple, and he will declare himself to be God. Now pay attention. In the book of Revelation, it says the idol that he sets up has the power to talk.
Okay.
Watch. It's going to make sense in a second. It says the idol that he sets up has the ability to speak. That whatever it is he sets up in the temple, although he himself is not physically there, this idol he sets up in the temple will be able to talk. And the scripture says in Revelation, this talking idol will speak blasphemous things against the Most High God. What could that be? I believe it could be nothing else except AI technology.
Yeah. Oof.
It can't be nothing else but AI technology or some type of hologram. You see, the United States just paid over $400 billion. For the investment of AI technology, God moving all the pieces around the world right now, preparing the whole world for the coming of the Son and the rise of the Antichrist.
How
while we play in church and not paying attention that the global headlines are reading right out of the pages of the Word of God. I believe that this talking idol.
Okay. I see where you're at. I get it.
See
what
I'm saying?
I get it. Man, like,
he's going to set up an idol in the temple and proclaim himself as God.
Yeah.
And this idol is going to be sitting there talking, speaking blasphemous things.
The thing is it's not going to look like your phone.
No.
It's going to look like Jarvis.
Like you said, a hologram.
You've watched the Marvel.
It's gonna look like living, walking, talking flesh.
Yes.
It's not gonna be like a phone up there like No, it's not gonna be none of that. It's gonna be like legit.
Yeah. You've watched the Marvel movies, you've watched Iron Man, Jarvis, who ends up being one of the Infinity Stones. Yeah. Right? Like that's exactly what you're talking about. That's exactly what you're talking about. And like look, he was pointing to Thessalonians, right? Is that not the scripture he was pointing to? And yes. I've recently talked about how in Thessalonians, that's the one where he said how Paul was saying to them, like, hey, don't be concerned when you hear people talking about this. Like, don't.
You're going to hear rumors of wars.
You're going to hear all this
famines
crap. Yep. He's the one that talks about how, like, it's going to come whenever everybody's at peace and everybody's at rest going, we got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So right now is not the time to worry.
Hell no.
Whenever it's like all of a sudden, oh, shnikey.
When somebody stands up there and starts making a proclamation of, I am the peacemaker. I am the one who brought peace to the world. I have created this treaty. Do you see what I'm saying? That's when we should definitely be at the highest alert. Yeah. Because at that point,
what's crazy is the Antichrist is already here.
I believe so.
The Antichrist, he's here. He's alive.
Yeah.
He's hiding. Not necessarily hiding. I think he's making his way through, like, as a politician. You know what I mean?
Through the ranks.
In some country, he's weaving his way
through. You want to know the craziest thing? People in this country are so vain, they think it's our president.
Yeah, Donald Trump.
It's not. No, not even Donald Trump. Any president. It doesn't have to be Donald Trump. Any president. It's got to be the United States. That's how vain we are as United States citizens.
It's not going to be the United States.
No, hell no. It's going to be someone way. It's going to be someone in the Middle East.
Dude, it's going to be like, it's going to be like a president of, or a dictator, or it's going to be
Saudi Arabia. It's going to be Iran.
Lebanon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be one of them. And it's going to be like out of the blue, they're just going to blossom. And all of a sudden, hey. And everybody's going to fall to their knees and be like, dude, you're amazing.
You're the man, dog. Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Psych, motherfucker.
Nice save. Because I would not have been able to save that. The last time was fug.
Motherfucker.
Well, this has been a very interesting day.
Oh, that's not even. Where's my joke?
I don't know, Jason. What happened?
Okay. All right. I bought some shoes from a drug dealer.
What?
I don't know what he laced him with, but I've been tripping all day.
He tied them things together, dog. I don't know. Sure, why not? It says
I can tell the other one.
No, you can't. Vinegar is all I'll
no,
say.
No, I wasn't gonna do that one.
Oh, what's the other one? Is it passively?
No, aggressive? Who gets out of the house first?
No.
Dude, that one's the best one.
I think the name is Alan Dundas. Light travels faster than sound. This is why some people appear bright until you hear them speak.
Oof. Oof. Oof.
We may or may not be talking about ourselves occasionally.
Yeah, I was directly directed towards me. Like, hey, guy.
No, look, I think the kind of the prevailing thing is like, look, we have to be mindful and we have to submit to this, right? And like we talked about a man after God's own heart and like what that kind of looks like. And a man after God's own heart isn't a perfect man. It's a man who is constantly seeking him and trying so hard.
It's going to have to be a man that understands he's not perfect, because a man that thinks he's perfect doesn't think he needs God.
Correct.
Does not think he needs Christ.
Right. It's the same thing as a person who is sick knows they need a doctor.
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly right. So a person...
And if you walk through this life, consistently consider yourself sick, metaphorically in a spiritual sense, I think you're always going to be moving in the right direction.
Correct. Correct. Just don't become so sin conscious that you allow it to affect and
you develop and Munchausen syndrome of the spiritual world. Like, yeah, I'm always sick.
Just don't allow your thoughts about yourself, because you are a failure or a failing or your sinfulness, to be what you think God sees you as, because that's not what God sees.
Yeah. Don't label yourself.
Correct. God sees you as somebody he loves and deeply, and he wants you so bad. He wants your love. He wants your relationship. He wants to know you, and he wants you to just
lean into it. He already knows you. The joke's on you. He already knows you.
Right? You can't hide.
Are you willing to accept the fact that he does know you and get to know him? Because he knows everything about you already.
That's it. 100%. You're right.
Yeah. 100%. How many hairs you have shaved on your face? How many hairs you have on your head? He knows everything about you.
He knows I've been growing this almost a year now. Almost.
Jeez. I don't know how long. I shaved mine not too long, a couple months ago.
November will be a year. I've been going a year. I've been doing this for a year. Not the rest of it, just this part.
Waiting on someone at work to tell you to cut it too, huh?
And they haven't. And I think a year is the mark for me. I'm not going to take it off, but I'm going to kind of lean it up a little. It's getting a little bit too unwieldy for me, but I like it. I like it. My wife likes it too. So, you know, if she likes it, then what do I care?
Well, thank you for joining us. It's been a wonderful ride. Take care.
Peace.
Hey, check out our website.
I mean, seriously, bro.
Like, you almost I forgot about it. I almost skipped right over that. Go ahead.
www.bumper-sticker-wisdom.com. You got to put the dashes.
We got it. We're literally everywhere now. No excuses.
Peace.